Thursday here on KGYM. We're going to talk college hoops with Kevin Lehman. Talk about Iowa State's big win last night over the West Virginia Mountaineers. Take a look back at Iowa's win on Tuesday night over Minnesota. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Let you know what happened last night on the lanes and also talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. All that coming up on the Gym Class here for a Thursday on KGYM. Welcome in. Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today on a sunny but bitterly cold Thursday as we welcome in the month of February. And of course, you know, it's been cloudy for like, 14 straight days, seems like. Mark, and then tomorrow when Punxsutawney Phil steps out, or whatever he does, they reach into the gopher hole, or I'm sorry, it's not a gopher, is it? It's a groundhog.
Yes.
It's a groundhog. You know, sure as heck he's going to see that shadow tomorrow because it's going to be sunny on the one day. This day and tomorrow will probably be sunny, and that means six more weeks of winter.
Do you buy into the rat thing?
Well, it's a groundhog.
Well, Mark. It looks like a rat to me.
it's a groundhog.
A big rat.
And you know what? Over the years,
I haven't paid any attention to it, whether it pans out or does it pan out. I don't know.
Over the years, that critter's been right more often than he's been wrong. I hate to say it, but you know, I'm hoping for a cloudy day tomorrow. That means four more weeks of winter. You know, I can't basically do anything outside anyway until the end of the high school basketball season anyway.
This is February 1. From February through the start of March, my favorite saying is it's one day closer to spring.
That's right.
And I complain about the winter. It's one day closer to spring.
Indeed. And the days tend to go pretty quickly at this time of the year because there's usually, starting in about a week and a half, there's usually a basketball game each day, except for Sundays and the occasional Wednesday. But, hey, that's the beauty of February and March in Eastern Iowa and this country. Hey, welcome in. We got a great show coming up. Kevin Lehman will join us. It's Thursday. We'll talk some college hoops with Kevin. And also, Dave Kokin's going to join us from Las Vegas. And we are going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and some of the prop bets, what some of the insiders in Vegas are looking for, what he is looking for. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be coming up on the program here today as well. And we will let you know what happened on the lanes last night as we will check in with Bowling Night in America. One thing that did happen last night is, Steve Prohm calls his team soft. Iowa State responds. The Iowa State Cyclones, despite not having Nick Weiler-Babb last night, although West Virginia was without one of their starters due to a sickness, Iowa State comes away with an impressive 93-77 victory over a suddenly reeling West Virginia team that has lost five out of their last six. So I guess the bottom line is, if you're Steve Prohm, you go ahead and call your team soft before every game. Right? Yeah, after the last one against Tennessee?
Sure, certainly worked out this one without Nick Weiler-Babb, a point guard, veteran. Wigginton really stepped up. And West Virginia's got a very good guard in Javon, player in Javon Carter. And held his own, if not, you know, played better. I don't know. Carter's a really good defender.
Yes.
But Wigginton came through.
Jackson came through with 25 points last night. Donovan Jackson, Cameron Lard,
double. Very good win, but it doesn't erase what has happened already this season for Iowa State. That could be a springboard. There's no doubt about it.
Still work to be done, though. And can't wait to talk to Kevin because I'm going to ask him about Iowa State. when you have a big win like that, people tend to, you know, at times maybe make speculations. And, you know, the speculations were going out there fast and furious last night. If this team can run 5-4, 6-3, maybe win a game, who knows if they get into the NCAA tournament. Easier said than done, but with the schedule that we have, and we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But we'll ask Kevin about that and about the Big 12 in general as well. You and I falling last night, again, this time to Evansville on the road. You and I has yet to win a game on the road in the Missouri Valley Conference. And time is running out on the Panthers.
It has run out. I'll just put it that way.
Still, of the three teams that will go in, well, the three state schools, we'll exclude Drake from this discussion. Of the three schools between Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI, though, UNI still has the best path to a possible NCAA tournament.
Do you think?
If they can win three games, they can beat anybody in that league. They can also lose to anybody in that league. And what happens in St. Louis, I think you throw a blanket over the entire group of the Missouri Valley Conference at this point.
We can see that.
And that's, you know, we'll ask Kevin about that as well. But UNI's got to play better. And again, last night just could not find the offense that they needed to come through with that victory over in Evansville. And the Purple Aces are starting to play better as well. They're 15-9 right now and definitely looking, you know, at a possible postseason bid. UNI now 11-12. And remember when they were coming off that pretty good non-conference season of all the teams they battled, and now the Panthers are one game under 500. And who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it at that stage? Your thoughts about Iowa State and UNI? Welcome at 319-366-1600. That is the Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line. It is brought to you by Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. That's also our phone number as well, 319-366-1600.
Poll question, KGYMRadio.com. A lot of discussion today about LeBron James and possible Golden State marriage. We ask you, would a LeBron-Golden State marriage be a good thing for the NBA? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Remember, everyone, pace yourselves. This is only going to be talked about for the next 4 months. And you think I'm kidding?
I know you're not kidding.
I am not kidding. It's going to be talked about the next 4 months. Until it either happens or doesn't happen after the NBA season.
Until he re-ups, and then it's all moot.
I don't know. If they can figure it out financially, then so be it at this point. But you know what? And this seems to happen every year in the NBA. I remember the last time LeBron James had this happen to him. We ended up with the LeBron James decision. Boy, that went over well, didn't it? And that was 4 months of just agony and just please figure out where you're going and just tell us. I don't think I can take that again. We do have golf going on in the desert, and this is the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And, of course, if you follow the PGA Tour and if you like party golf, this is your cup of tea in the desert, actually in Scottsdale, the TPC Scottsdale. But this, of course, is the home of the famous 16th hole where they've got piped in music and, what, 100-some thousand people surrounding the par three. And you better feed the animals because if you don't, they will boo you. If you don't hit it close to the hole, they will boo you. They'll boo you. They really don't need a lot of reasons to boo you.
Not really.
And some of the tour players embrace it. Those are the ones that are there. Some of the tour people would not come within Phoenix, within, you know, within 100 miles of the desert for this one this week. Zach is kind of every other year or something like that. He is playing this year, though.
He is playing, and his first round is complete. A very colorful card for Zach Johnson today. He shot even par 71, four birdies, four bogeys, 10 pars. So it was kind of an up-and-down day for Zach, but he is not far out of the lead because they're not really going too low today. The lead is at -5, held jointly right now with Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel, and Bryson DeChambeau, all in the clubhouse, 5-under par, 66. Let me ask you, and I heard an interview with Justin Thomas yesterday about whether 16 at Phoenix should be replicated elsewhere.
No.
That's what Justin Thomas said.
No. Let it be unique.
I don't think you can on most courses, can you?
No. No. You need the room. Remember, the TPC courses are set up to be fan-friendly. So they have a little bit more room. They can put the stands there. But you don't want that every week on the PGA Tour. Once a year is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You do that every week, and guys, A, are going to get angry because the ones that don't play this event will never play this event because they don't want to go through that. By the way, Zach did bogey the 16th hole.
Well, he did. He hit it short of the green. I'm sure he was roundly booed.
He was booed. Then hit it within 11 feet, missed the par putt, made bogey. I don't know what he threw into the stands. You always got to have a shtick when you go to 16.
Typically on Sunday, the players throw out what have you. They wear a jersey.
John Rahm wore his Arizona State football jersey. He's wore Arizona Cardinal. Now John Rahm and Phil Mickelson are Arizona State alums, so they know exactly how this plays out. But you got to have something in the bag. You got to throw. Now, they won't let you. There are certain things you can't throw. Now, they have put a few regulations into it. But it's, you know, once a year, it's fine. I can live with it. But I don't know.
Several texts and a variety of topics coming in on the Hertzian Stocker Jeweler text
16th hole?
Not quite yet. 64-39. LeBron stuff is all drummed up. He's 35. Why would Golden State break up their team to sign and all his drama? Sign him and all his drama. In terms of Groundhog Day yesterday or tomorrow, 15:45. The weather conditions in Punxsutawney have nothing to do with the forecast. It's what the groundhog whispers in the handler's ears.
Really?
In regards to Iowa State last night, 9-0-8-9, it did not show in the stats, but Tally had the best performance for the Cyclones last night. Was key in breaking Press Virginia.
Yeah. He did well and played, God, what was it, 30-some minutes last night. Four of the Cyclone starters played over 35 minutes last night because with the absence of Nick Weiler-Babb, Tally went into the starting lineup last night. You knew it was going to be a good night when Iowa State in the first 3 minutes hit two pull-up fast break threes, and they both go in and never trailed in that game last night and really put it to West Virginia.
74-90, when all is said and done, I don't believe all the parties and players involved are going to make all the efforts, payouts, and all those things to fit LeBron in. I think LeBron threw it out there, and we're just eating it up.
No, there's people in particular eating. Everyone that has NBA basketball on their particular network is eating this up. 4 months, people. 4 months. Will they still be talking about this in May, Mark?
Well, the regular season won't be over yet, right?
No, it'll be over. Playoffs will be in May.
Yeah.
Playoffs are in May. But this will still be talked about. In June, it'll be talked about. Until he makes that decision.
I'm already nauseated.
It's going to be talked about. Spring training's around the corner. 18 minutes past the hour of 3. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we will talk with Kevin Lehman. We'll talk about Iowa State's win last night. The Panthers falling at Evansville, Iowa. with their victory on Tuesday night over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. All that coming up with Kevin Lehman next here in the Gym Class in KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team fell to Class 4A number 3 rated Cedar Falls on Tuesday night, 64-58. Michael Mims led Xavier with 29 points. The Saints will play at Prairie tomorrow night and at Kennedy next Tuesday. The Xavier girls basketball team will play Prairie at home tomorrow night at the Ron Thillen Gymnasium. The Saints will come into the game number 12 rated in Class 4A, while the Hawks are 11th rated in Class 5A. The Xavier wrestlers competed in the Mississippi Valley Conference meet this past Saturday at Jefferson. The Saints finished 12th in the standings. Keegan Shulchick raised his record to 30-6 and placed second at 120 pounds to lead the Saints. Xavier will wrestle in the Class 3A district tourney on February 10th at Dubuque City.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
It's always more fun to be with friends as you cheer on your favorite team. Whether attending the game, watching at a bar, or hosting a party, it's very important to know that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Before choosing to drink, choose your team's MVP, a sober designated driver. Avoid the unsportsmanlike conduct of driving drunk by handing off your key so that you, your passengers, and everyone on the road can be safe. Your team victory will only be worth celebrating if you and your friends make it home. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back, 321. We're calling an audible. And why not? Because we're going to be talking about football here. But we're going to call a little audible. Kevin Lehman's going to join us second. We're going to talk to Dave Koken, Las Vegas handicapper. We will do that coming up first on the program today.
Lehman batting second can move the runner along. I know that.
Yes.
He can lay down a bunt if you want him to.
Got to lay down that bunt.
They take one to right field.
Hit and run, things like that.
Lehman's versatile.
He's versatile. So we will talk some college basketball. We will do that here in just a little bit with Kevin Lehman. And we'll talk about that win by Iowa State last night and other basketball topics. We will do that coming up. Of course, we got Super Bowl this Sunday beginning at 1 o'clock on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5. 106.3 FM, 1 o'clock with the pregame show, 2 o'clock with the pregame show, and 3 o'clock with just the pregame show before they kick it off sometime after 5 o'clock from Minneapolis. And, of course, that's the Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. To talk about that and all the prop bets and all the fun, we welcome in Las Vegas handicapper, also works with ESPN Radio and ESPN Television. Dave Koken joins us. You can check out his website. It's one of the greatest handles that you will find. Mm-hmm. It's smokinkoken.com. Dave, welcome. How are you?
Listen, were you guys just talking about sacrifice bunting?
Yes.
don't get me started, because I'm a metrics guy when it comes to baseball, and you don't think much of the sacrifice bunt.
It's out of baseball. It's like the stolen base. It's not in baseball anymore.
No, and that's the beauty of baseball, and I know we've got to talk Super Bowl, but the beauty of baseball is that I think more than any other sport, it's embracing the metrics to a tremendous extent in terms of the way lineups are configured, organizations are run, and the Houston Astros are the kings as far as this stuff goes, and they just won a World Series. So you're going to see a lot more of that stuff.
Indeed. Indeed.
Dave, yeah, let's talk Super Bowl, and all the prop bets are out there, whatnot, but the main line, I think last I saw New England, four and a half, and the total at 47.5. Where's the money coming in? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's been a flood of Philadelphia money. Here's the interesting thing is a lot of it, in fact, I think maybe most of it, has been Philadelphia money line, which is, from a value standpoint, it's a lousy bet. If it wins, I suppose you could say that any bet that wins is a good bet, but a professional bettor will tell you that you have to get value. And as an example, money line, when the line was 5.5, the right, which is where it was for quite a while, the right money line price is -210, instead it was -180. So your take back on Philadelphia was a lot less than it's supposed to be, but that's the beauty of the Super Bowl is that it's the ultimate amateur betting show, and you get tremendously large wagers, some as high as 7 figures, and they're not particularly from sharp bettors. So, it's not an automatic that because somebody's betting a ton of money on Philadelphia, they know anything more than anybody else. I think what most of the odds makers in town are agreed upon is that the New England money is going to show up on the weekend, and I don't think this line's going to go any lower. 4, 4.5 looks like the bottom. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets back to 5 on game day.
Are the sharp guys on the Eagles as well?
What's that?
Are the sharp guys on the Eagles?
Some are and some aren't.
Okay.
Maybe you can argue maybe there are maybe slightly more on the Eagles and the Patriots at this point. But the sharper money line guys are going to come in on the New England side over the weekend. That I'm sure of. And so are the odds makers. So they're bracing for that. What you'll see is you'll probably see some Philadelphia point spread action late because, if you're grading the game on metrics, there is value on the Philadelphia side. Now, I personally have a rule. It's my own personal rule, and it's been a good one for me. I don't bet against New England. It doesn't mean I always bet on them, but I will not bet against them for obvious reasons. This team always finds a way to win, and all they do is take money out of your pocket if you're trying to beat them.
That was going to be my next question to you, Dave. Is this good or bad that the New England Patriots are back in the Super Bowl one more time?
Oh, it's good. It's good because they just generate such polarized feelings. They're kind of like the Yankees used to be in baseball. You either love them or you hate them, and there's no in-between. So, and Philadelphia fans are rabid. They're all over town. That's one of the reasons that there is more Philadelphia action. The Eagles are going to draw better here in Las Vegas than the Patriots will. It's a newer experience for Philadelphia fans. They travel spectacularly well. If you go back to the game they played against the Rams in Los Angeles earlier this season at the Coliseum, it was probably 65% Philadelphia fans at the game. So where their team is playing is where they'll show up. And there's going to be tremendously strong representation. Now, the total is interesting, guys, because that's going to go up on the weekend. There's no question about that. Amateur bettors love to bet the overs, and they might get it right, too. I don't disagree with that. I think it could be a high-scoring game. I would think that goes to 49, maybe even approaching 50 by game time.
Dave, there's no other game, I don't believe, that has more prop bets than the Super Bowl. Now, is there value?
Nothing close.
Is there value in prop bets, or are they sucker bets?
No, as a matter of fact, this is one of the things that's changed over the years. They used to throw up a bunch of props, and people would bet $5 or $10 on them, and they didn't really care whether they won or lost. And then, just a handful of years ago, it got a lot sharper in terms of people were spending a lot of time breaking these things down and making significant bets. And what that meant is that the odds makers had to get sharper as well. No, look, if you're talking about how long is the national anthem or whether it's going to be heads or tails or the coin flip, stuff like that, those are just dumb bets where it's 50-50. Maybe you get lucky, maybe you don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to handicap that. But there are other things you can handicap. I'll give you one example. And it doesn't mean it's going to win, but it's kind of the way I see the game unfolding. I think Brady's going to throw the ball a lot in this game. I'm not saying they'll ignore the running game, but I think a lot of their running game will be camouflaged as short passes to the running backs. And the over-and-under prop on Brady pass attempts is about 39 or 40. I think there's going to be 50 passes thrown by New England in this game. I think they'll use that more than the run in terms of hopefully breaking some big plays and getting the ball to running backs in space, because that's where their guys are more dangerous. Outside of Burkhead, they don't really pound the line that well. There's no more LeGarrette Blount on the Patriots, and oddly enough, he's on the Eagles, of course. So I think that's the style of play we'll see out of New England, and I think that's a pretty good prop bet.
Well, along those lines, one of the prop bets we're going to pick tomorrow, Dave, on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, is Brady over under 294.5 passing yards.
Yeah, I would go over.
Okay.
Again, because, you know, the Patriots are going to get their yards in this game, and I think the majority of them, the big majority, might be in the air.
Interesting. Dave Koken joining us here from Las Vegas on the Gym Class on KGYM. And Dave, you mentioned that you think New England's going to throw the ball a lot. What about the other side, the Philadelphia Eagles? Are they going to let Nick Foles loose? Or are they going to try to run the ball with Jay Ajayi and the rest of that group?
I think the Eagles probably try and run it a little more and control the clock, keep the New England offense off the field. Now, of course, this all changes if Gronk somehow, you know, is out of the game. That would change everything for New England. He's so important to them, but I'm assuming he's going to be out there. So, you know, to me, Philadelphia's game plan is going to be somewhat similar to what we've seen the last couple of weeks, and I would not be surprised if they trot out some trick plays. We saw a couple last week against the Vikings, one of which worked beautifully, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of that here. But this is not, the one difference that we maybe this year, as opposed to other seasons, Belichick's always had an enormous coaching advantage, it seems, in these games. I don't think there's any question he did last year. That coaching advantage might not be as large this year. Doug Peterson's really drawing a tremendous amount of respect for what he's done in Philadelphia since he got there a couple of years ago. And I don't think his reputation's ever been stronger than it is right now because of the fact that this team was considered dead in the water after Carson Wentz got hurt. And here they are in the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback who's playing good football.
So you're telling me my Chiefs kept the wrong guy.
Well, now, yeah, listen, if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be doing cartwheels over that ridiculous trade with Washington. I have no idea what the Redskins are thinking there. And this Fuller kid's a really good cornerback. I think it's a steal for the Chiefs. And look, I'm one of those who believes Mahomes is going to be a frontline quarterback someday. He'll have some growing pains, but this kid's got talent.
I hope you're right.
You spoke of last year's game, Dave, and that was a big halftime deficit for New England, which prompts me to ask you about halftime bets. Are they popular? Value in them? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll be enormous this year, which is why anybody who's in town has got to get the apps for the various sports books. Otherwise, you might be standing in line and getting shut out because the lines are enormously long. Yeah, I like to bet second halves on occasion. If I get a feel for the way things are going in the first half, to make an assessment as to what teams might do in the second half, and depending on what I might already have for an outstanding wager, it might also present itself as a good hedging opportunity, and there's nothing wrong with that if you can possibly set yourself up to win two bets. And in fact, as of now, what I've got in this game, and one of the smartest things I did this season, before the Patriots-Jacksonville game, I thought the Patriots would win. I wasn't sure if they were going to cover a big spread against a good defensive team. Didn't want to give that many points. But I was able to get Patriots' money line to win the Super Bowl at even money.
Mm.
And when they got through that game, I just popped the Eagles +6 bet out right away when that number showed in the Super Bowl. So I've got Patriots even money to win the game straight up, Eagles +6. Give me a New England win by anywhere from 1 to 5, and I'm going to be a very happy
Dave Koken joining us for a couple more minutes here live from Las Vegas at 3:33 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. This is, you mentioned a little bit earlier, this is the amateur bettors. This is their Mardi Gras during the sports calendar year anyway. And Philadelphia fans coming to the desert even more of a Mardi Gras anyway. And is this going to set a record for most money bet as far as the Vegas is concerned?
Yes. Yeah. No question about it. There's two reasons for that. One, is that sports betting becomes less and less of a taboo every year. It should be. It's probably going to be legalized in most places by next year. And obviously, it'll be a states' rights issue, but any state that doesn't do it is, you know, if you don't want the money, it's just going to go someplace else. And beyond that, we're now in the app age, which means you don't have to be in person. I haven't made a bet in person. I don't remember the last bet I made in person. You know, you just download the apps, you get money in your accounts, and you just bet on the phone. It's as easy as can be. So, yeah, it's going to smash the records. And that just takes place every year now.
And, of course, we see how it all plays out, this. And I know one of the bets anyway is MVP. Is it going to be a quarterback? Is it not going to be a quarterback? But it's always a quarterback more often than not, right?
Well, but I'll tell you what. You know who's getting a lot of money is LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a dumb bet because if he gets 2 1-yard touchdown runs, that's not going to get him the MVP. I think if you're going to do something on Blount, you're better off looking for some props as to scoring touchdowns or something along those lines. I don't think he's going to be an MVP candidate. But nevertheless, that's drawing a lot of money, and I think it's down to like 8-1 now. So they've actually got a liability. If Blount were to somehow win the MVP, it would be pretty costly to the bookmakers. I personally, I think they've got nothing to worry about.
There you go. Well, you can find out more about Dave at his website, Smokin' Kokin. That's C-O-K-I-N, by the way.
We need to talk to Dave around NCAA tournament time.
Yeah.
That's the runner-up to betting in Vegas, I think.
Yeah, it's actually, over the course of the entire tournament, it's actually right on the level equal to the Super Bowl and maybe even surpassing it. It's the March Madness is absolutely incredible out here, and everybody should put it on their bucket list. You want to spend one of those first 2 days in one of the big sports books. You've never seen an atmosphere like it. It's absolutely amazing.
Let's book it, Scott.
All right. We'll make it out there one of these times. Follow him on Twitter at Dave Kokin, and mention the website smokingkokin.com. Dave, enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the Eagle fans. They're fun. So we'll talk to you down the road.
I'm a New Englander, so you know who I'm rooting for in this game. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Kokin joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:36. We will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk with Kevin Lehman. He may bunt. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe push that runner over, do a little hit and run. I don't know. The baseball adage.
Kevin likes to swing away. I'm pretty sure about that.
All right, we'll see what happens. That'll be coming up next. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
There's a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
And a way to give her a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Turn it up this Valentine's Day with Levion Chocolate Diamond Jewelry from Jared. You'll find more exclusive Levion pieces at Jared than any other jewelry store in the world. And when you visit Jared.com from February 1st through the 14th, you'll receive $100 off any Levion purchase. That's our Valentine's gift to you.
And that's why he went to Jared.
Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
It's a top 15 rated girls NBC matchup this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Steve Dozer and me Friday at 7:30 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM as Class 5A number 11 Prairie takes on 4A number 12 Xavier. The Hawks and Saints are both looking to start the stretch run before the tournament with a big victory on Friday. That's girls NBC basketball presented by First Federal Credit Union. 5A number 11 Prairie and 4A number 12 Xavier. Friday night at 7:30 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. KGYM.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa. Talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
I think we found a new friend.
What's that?
Well, I like Dave. Dave's
I do
awesome.
Too.
Dave's awesome. Dave Kokin from
New England accent, a Vegas background, and imagine his day every day.
I told you, no, I can't. You mean it's a little bit different than good old Eastern Iowa? That could be the case out there. We're going to talk about bowling last night. We'll do that here in just a little bit as we will check in with Bowling Night in America. But we want to check in with the world of college basketball. We do that on Thursdays. And to help us with that is our college basketball expert, Kevin Lehman, joining us here on the gym class on this Thursday. Kevin, how are you?
Well, good, guys. And if Bowling Night in America is on deck, then I better get on base.
Very much so.
Are you a guy that will lay one down or hit one to the opposite field, or you want to swing away?
You're putting a lot of pressure on me because I know who's on deck. Bowling Night in America. How did it go last night for you guys? That's bad. Okay. Let's talk about basketball.
Kind of a swing and a miss. Let's do.
Yeah. We look like West Virginia's start last night. Oh, man. Good place to start, though, in Ames. Like we said a little bit earlier on when we were breaking down the game a little bit, you know it's going to be a good night when you have two fast break opportunities and you pull up for threes and they both go in and you never trail and shoot 62%. That's a good night.
Well, no question. And I, like most of the analysts in the world, gave the Cyclones no chance in this game when Nick Weiler-Babb went out. And I agree with your texter. Jerron Talley was outstanding in that game. 35 minutes, 7 points, 4 rebounds, and he had 5 assists, 2 turnovers. And one turnover was right at the end of the game when it didn't matter. I thought he was exceptional at breaking the press and taking the pressure off of Wigginton and Donovan Jackson.
How about Cameron Lard's progress and what that means to the team?
Oh, he is unbelievable, Mark. I mean, can run the court, can catch and finish, and is really developing some post moves inside. And his ability to get off the floor quick and get the ball up to the rim. I really like the future of Iowa State with Wigginton and Lard. Those are two all Big 12 freshmen when they get a little more seasoning.
Well, and the group they have coming in next year, plus Shayok, the transfer from Virginia, you know, can't look ahead to next year yet because this year's still not done, but at least, you know, Iowa State's got the groundwork laid for what could be a really good 18-19.
Well, no question. And I thought Steve Prohm really showed his ability to coach last night. You've got depleted forces, and you're playing a team like West Virginia that really takes you out of your rhythm. The way they spread the court and they attacked that pressure was just genius in coaching. And actually, if you watch that, West Virginia took the press off. I mean, they gave some resistance to the inbounds pass, but they stopped trapping soon into that game because they were spread so thin. And Iowa State's aggressiveness to attack at the end of the press. I thought they showed great composure and aggressiveness at the right time, the Cyclones did.
Wigginton, of course, came in with a lot of fanfare. How do you think he's handled that, and what do you think about his development so far?
He is a big-time talent, Mark. And you saw some replays there where he elevates on his jump shot, and he's got great upper body strength, so he can't knock him off stride. His ability to get the free throw line and his decision making is probably what is impressive for a freshman, because a lot of times they'll go through some lapses and kick the ball around. He's so strong with the basketball and so physical with it, ability to score at all three levels, and he's got a little bit of fearlessness in him and some amnesia, where selective amnesia, he doesn't worry about that last miss. And I like the way he will attack the rim on anybody, no matter who it is. And, you know, him along with Lard, I really think this is an Iowa State team. And you throw in those four recruits they have coming in, this is going to be a really good team in the future.
Well, and Jacobson coming in next year, can't forget about him, the Nebraska transfer, which he'll be eligible to go next year. Two-part question. We've hit the midway point of the Big 12. And Kansas with a one-game lead over both Oklahoma and Texas Tech at this point. Big 12 still the best conference in America, or is there, you know, maybe a very good team in Kansas and a whole group of good teams? I mean, how good is the Big 12? I mean, West Virginia's lost 4 out of 5 right now. And secondly, what's Iowa State got to do to get it in the postseason?
Well, I thought, number one, your first question, I think you have to question whether the Big 12 is the best league in the country, especially after their challenge match with the SEC. They win four, lose six. West Virginia loses at home against Kentucky, Kentucky team that was out of the top 25 at the time. TCU loses at Vanderbilt. Those are two that really shocked me. And so I think you have to question, is this the best league? And West Virginia, you know, they're on a downward spiral right now. TCU has struggled. They're 4-5 in the league. Big game coming up for TCU. But I think that's a legitimate question. The SEC has really gotten better, guys. That league has really come on strong here this year. But ACC's loaded at the top. The problem is the ACC at the bottom of that league is not very good. As far as top to bottom, I still think the Big 12 is the best as far as 10 teams, because they don't have, as we saw last night with Iowa State, the bottom teams can beat anybody. So not a lot of leagues that can happen in, but it certainly is the 12.
Before we leave Iowa State, is this Saturday night's game at Waco the biggest game Iowa State has had this year? If they want postseason, they can't lose to the 10th place Baylor Bears.
Well, when you say biggest game, you know, when you win that one, the next one becomes the biggest.
Right.
But as Steve Prohm will tell you, yeah, coming up it is. They beat at home by 10. Then they've got to go to Tech, ranked number 10, a team they beat at home easily by 18. So you know Tech's going to be waiting for them. This is a tough schedule that they have left, because they got Oklahoma twice, who's ranked 12th. And they've got K-State. They've got KU back at home. When you look at this schedule, you know, where are the wins at unless they play like they did last night? So are they going to play like they did against Tennessee? That's the problem you have with a team that's at the bottom of the Big 12. They've been inconsistent. So are they going to become more consistent when Nick Weilerbab comes back? Is that going to give them a boost? I think that's why I have these games left. You've got to wait and see. I'm not a true believer yet. I've got to see it on a more consistent basis for the Cyclones. But I tell you what, the magic is certainly back at Hilton Coliseum.
Northern Iowa with an 8-point loss at Evansville last night after being tied at halftime. Panthers currently sharing the cellar in the Missouri Valley Conference. What is you and I missing, or is that just life in the Valley?
I had to break the news to Gary Reima before our game at Illinois State that they were not going to make it out of the play-in game on Thursday night in the Valley. We had that argument on air, but if you look what they have left, the way they played, I just can't see them digging out of that 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th place. And here's a stat. I've got their game against Indiana State, Mark, coming up. In their three wins, they've shot at 44% from the three-point arc. In their 8 losses, they've shot at 28%. So to me, that's kind of the easy answer. They got to be able to make threes. They haven't done it consistently. Haldeman has really struggled in league play. Lohaus has probably been their most consistent. And last night in that second half, this is when you know a coach is looking for answers. Because Ben Jackson, in his second half, he started Rhodes, Lohaus, Haldeman, along with Bennett Cook and Clint Carlson in the second half of that game. So he sat three of his starters. Actually, sat four of his starters to start that second half. And they hung around for a while and then had that lull. And Evansville, right before the game, Drew Smith, their point guard, announced that he was not going to play because of an injury. So Evansville didn't have one of their better players in that game either. And, you know, this is the one that you and I had to get if they're going to climb out of that play-in game on Thursday. And they just couldn't get her done.
Yeah, just couldn't get it done. And you mentioned you and I, some of their top liners and Cook and Carlson. And this, the consistency hasn't been there for them as upperclassmen as it has been in previous years with some of the upperclassmen guys on the interior for UNI, and that has also really hurt the Panthers.
Well, no question. I'm talking with my producers here this morning about who do you want to highlight in this game on Saturday's Indiana State. And I said, well, let me think about it, because no one has been consistent, because you always want to highlight a player that thinks going to be a big factor in that game. And no one played really well over 40 minutes at Indiana State except Bennett Cook came off the bench and had 19 points. So that's been a struggle all year. That just hasn't – more in the conference season, guys, because remember they played so well in non-conference the team that's looking to get an at-large berth, and they've really struggled in league play, and it's been consistency. Even the freshman Tywin Pickford, who had some great games, has had some lapses in there. And Clint Carlson has been somewhat consistent until his last game. Isaiah Brown has shown some flashes, but everyone showed some flashes, but no one's been able to do it on a consistent basis. And their defense is solid, but it's not creating offense for them. So there's all sorts of pressure on the Panthers to score in their half-court sets. In the Valley, you're scouted so well, that is really difficult to do, to score against half-court set defenses that know what's coming.
Iowa coming off a victory over Minnesota, a much-needed one, and you could argue that Iowa should have won that game. But now it goes to Penn State, 5 o'clock tip, Iowa time tomorrow. Of course, Penn State beat Iowa December 2nd by 4 in Iowa City. Let me ask you simply, is Iowa a better team now?
You know, that was the game was so long ago, and I was at that Penn State game. I think when you talk about big games coming up, this one for Iowa is what's huge, because then you've got Michigan State coming back to Carver-Hawkeye. There's a lot of stuff going on at Michigan State. How long can they survive this team behind the scenes and put everything that's happening at Michigan State University now that affect their basketball play? So that's a possible winnable game for Iowa, Michigan State coming in. Then, of course, you got to go to Ohio State, you got to go to Michigan. Those are tough ones, but this schedule is pretty favorable down the stretch here. You got Indiana, you're at Minnesota, Northwestern home. So the Hawks can win. And I sat courtside with your old friend Mike Mahon, was doing stats, so I sat next to him. Everybody argues about Jordan Bohannon, point guard. Jordan Bohannon is just a great basketball player. He controlled that game offensively from finish, scored when he needed to, assisted when he needed to. I was really impressed to watch the way that he played in that game. You know, he's got some deficiencies to defensive end, but everybody's got some issues. And we've talked about this before, guys. When Isaiah Moss gets it going, Iowa's a different team, because he can spread the defense. He's the one guy that can dribble, drive the ball into the paint, rise up and score over people. I think he's still the key to success for Iowa at the offensive end. And, of course, guys, they got to get better defensively.
Well, you talk about Jordan, and, you know, people have been, you know, lukewarm on him at times this year. But 14 points a game, 44% from three-point range, 89% from the free-throw line, and assist-to-turnover ratio right now, 129 assists to 50 turnovers.
He's got better stats this year than he did last year.
Yeah, that's a pretty good year.
Well, when you sit courtside, and back when you could scout live, guys, I always would sit courtside for a half and sit up in the stands for another half. But when you sit courtside, you can see a player's face. You can see his emotion. And Jordan Boy, I was really impressed by the way he controlled that game for Iowa, because these teams come out after him defensively. Doesn't faze him. Handles the ball so well. He's in complete control. And when you look at his three-point shooting, guys, think about the times that he's had to fling a three when the shot clock's running down. So he's shooting 43%, but he's a much better shooter than that, because he's had to launch some bad ones in shot clock situations. So I was really impressed. And, of course, you know, he just surpassed Cal Wolfsburg's 6 double-doubles. And I've always had a soft spot for Cal Wolfsburg. I actually named one of my sons, one of my twins, Cal, after Cal Wolfsburg.
Say it's a good day. That's the second day in a row we've got a Cal Wolfsburg, reference.
Didn't he marry Lute's daughter?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
smart.
That name always stuck with me, and I did. I named one son after Austin Carr, who lit up the Hawks in 1970 from Notre Dame. I named another son after Cal Wolfsburg.
So they're destined to be big basketball players.
Carr
right?
had about 50 or so in that game, but they lost by 20, didn't they?
Yeah, I think he had 54, Mark, if I remember that.
That was a consolation game.
I did a game at Joyce Center, and the concourse is Austin Carr Concourse. So I took some pictures of that and sent it to my son and said, here's your namesake. The concourse is named after him.
He could fill it up, him and Rick Mount, huh?
And yeah, I got one more guy for you on Iowa. Cordell Pimsoll. Remember he lost all the weight early in the year?
Yep.
He was just kind of another guy. I think he put some of that weight back on. I like the way he's playing with lockout. I like Cordell Pimsoll with an extra 20 or 30 pounds because he goes on the post, and he has some excellent moves. He's kind of got those big hips.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 64% from the field. I like him as a big, strong enforcer inside rather than a thin forward trying to play on the wing. And I also, you know, we had a few beverages with Stephen Bartow afterwards, and Stephen Bartow made this point to me. He said, hey, Iowa's a team that no one wants to play when you get to New York City for the Big Ten tournament because of what they can do to you offensively.
Yeah, and then get that defense corralled, is the big difference. One more before we let you go. What does Nebraska have to do to get some respect? 8-4 right now, but nowhere to be found in bracketology or anything like that. What do they got to do besides keep winning?
Well, they were actually, when I checked today, they were on that second four on the outside looking in. The Cornhuskers were on Joe Lenardi's. But if you look at their schedule, Scott, they have all winnable games, but not games that are going to really elevate your RPI. But I think they've got to make a run here down the stretch and probably make a little noise in the Big Ten tournament, and then they're going to find themselves in. But this is going to be one of those teams that's probably going to be wavering on that last four in line, first four out line when it comes down to Selection Sunday. But I really like that team that Tim Miles has put together.
I do, too. Looked good last Saturday night, certainly against the Hawkeyes. Kevin, appreciate it. Have a good call Saturday, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, we got an old friend Greg Lansing coming back with the Sycamores, and Greg just recorded his 70th Valley win, which is a school record in Indiana State.
Very nice.
Very nice. Good for him. One of the nice guys around, certainly. All right, Kevin, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
3:55 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class KGYM. Speaking of the Cyclones, Eric Heft will join us coming up tomorrow from the Iowa State Cyclone Radio Network, and then we'll also have the Carl Nerney's Pick 6. Oh, we gave you a little bit of a sneak preview. It's time for Bowling Night in America recap, brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street, Southwest and Cedar Rapids. Always our congenial host for Bowling Night in America. It's always, even though we don't bowl well, it's always fun to be there. And that was the case last night.
I would agree. In assessing things this morning, I came up with this with apologies to the Gazette. Last night was kind of woodshed IA 52404.
Bowling style.
Oh, boy. At any rate, we were bowling Durline Scale, which has won the league multiple times and now in first place. And
they're the New England Patriots of Ireland.
They didn't really put a huge whooping on us, but they won the first game big and won the last two by 24 and 53, respectively. So all 4 points go to Durline Scale. Everybody on their team over their average, not so much on our team. Chad Durline with a nice 700. And
we didn't tell him he needed to mark in that last frame in the 10th either.
I think he pretty much knew.
No, he looked up that, hey, I needed to mark.
Yeah. But at any rate, the Rusty Nails fall to 42 up, 42 down on the year. 9th place in the Mature Evergreen League, getting mature and mature all the time. But we'll try to right the ship next week. Ian Schrage, high game last night, 269. Marcus Metz added again, 747. He was just to our left. Just going through the routine, 747.
They even got
flying
done.
Flying high.
They even got done before we did.
And he and Chad had the only 700s in the league. So, again, we'll get back at it next week for week 21. In the meantime, if you need to find some open bowling or a party, visit the pro shop. Give May City a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Perhaps we need some open bowling. Perhaps we need a stop at the pro shop. I figured a few things out at the end. I was doing something incorrect.
Well, that's a perfect time, Scott.
It was not a good night. It was not a good night. And even if at our best, I don't know if we could have beat
Bruner
those
with
guys.
Mike Bruner had
a good night. Mike was the only one on the team over his average, wasn't he? Or were you there? You were over.
I was as well. Yeah.
All right. Well,
not a lot. But
I was woefully under. Bobby was woefully under. And Rod was woefully under. So, by the way, State Bowling is coming this weekend to Cedar Rapids. So good luck to all of the folks that are going to be bowling out there. Jerry Robinson wanted us to pass that along. But State Bowling coming starting this weekend here in Cedar Rapids. And Maze City is going to be one of the places to go. All right, talk to you tomorrow. Maze City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Maze City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday.